This is Detroit Today. I'm Stephen Henderson, and thanks for joining us. We've talked a lot about the reactions to the beating death of Tyre Nichols, and this is, of course, a national event, but issues of police misconduct are not uncommon here in Michigan and Detroit. So to talk about what legislators are doing here in the state to reform policing, we've got State Senator Stephanie Chang with us. She is a Democrat from Detroit who represents Michigan's 3rd State Senate District. She's also the chair of the Civil Rights, Judiciary, and Public Safety Committee. State Senator Chang, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you have been pushing for alternatives to policing in the legislature. Now that Democrats have a majority, and now that we're seeing again the great peril that many African Americans face at the hands of police, do you think that maybe this gives us an opportunity to move things along quicker than they have been?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a good question. And before sort of launching it, I just want to just acknowledge, you know, this is a painful topic for so many people. And so first, just wanted to acknowledge all the pain and trauma that, you know, so many folks across our country, especially in Black and Brown communities, are going through, which on what just seems to be a far too regular basis when it comes to police brutality and misconduct in our country. So, you know, absolutely, I think that, you know, now that we've got a Democratic majority, we've got an incredible opportunity to move things forward. And so I'm going to do everything that I can in the position that I have as the chair of the Judiciary Committee to move the legislation forward that we've worked on for several years that are actually bipartisan and include reforms that are broadly supported by the majority of Michiganders. And actually was on the phone earlier this morning with Erica Geis, who's the chair of our Michigan Legislative Black Caucus, and both of us are really committed to working together to get as much done as we can to address use of force standards, to address accountability and transparency, and to do everything that we can, right? Are we going to be able to prevent every single event of police misconduct? Probably not, but we can certainly save lives, and we know that some of the reforms that we're talking about, with use of force policies, for example, we know that some of the things that we're looking at are actually associated across the country with fewer police killings. So we've got to do everything we can to save lives, make sure that we have law enforcement that's working for our communities, and try to rebuild the trust where we can.
Hmm. I want to talk a little about mental health and the issue of mental health, specifically with police officers and co-responders. I think that's a really important dimension of this conversation, and it's something that you've been watching as well.
Yeah, super important. You know, I absolutely believe that there's a lot that we need to do in terms of supporting public mental health in the state of Michigan. Last term, I was really proud to work across the aisle to actually pass legislation to help support local efforts that make sure that we're actually sending folks who are trained mental health professionals to respond to crises, you know, in tandem with or sometimes in place of law enforcement. When we actually know that a lot of law enforcement officers recognize that this is not really what their profession is, this is not what their training is, and wouldn't it actually be better to have folks who, this, you know, are trained in behavioral health, that is what they do, it's what they're licensed to do, to have them, you know, on scene and respond. So we're excited to have that roll out, and we know that there's much more we can do. And, you know, I'm also really eager to pick up on all of the work that we were doing last term around about 10 to 12 bills that were really aimed at use of force, separation records, duty to intervene, you know, many of the things that we've been talking about for such a long time. This is the year we've got to make it happen.
Yeah, yeah. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can include you in the conversations that way. We do have some social media comments I want to inject into the conversation here. Ed says, these five are not African-American men. They are monsters and police. They forgot. And I, like you, like me, he says he cannot watch the video. Hugo on Twitter says, the system is working exactly as intended. I think a nod to the systemic and institutional factors that we have been talking about. JL on Twitter says, I've got a lot of feelings about the death of Tyree Nichols. We know policing is rooted in white supremacy. When we started to police the police via groups like the Black Panther Party, they dismantled it from the inside. Before we go to back to the phones, actually, I do want to go to the phones. We've got a black police officer here in Detroit who wants to contribute to the conversation. I think that's important. Joe, I know that's not your real name, but Joe, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah,
I just wanted to make a statement. You know, those officers, you know, I'm not trying to Sunday quarterback anybody. All I know is I've been in situations similar to that. And being in a situation similar to that, I don't understand why, you know, I think those officers took it too far. You know, and from looking at the video, it just seemed to me like it was personal. You know, it was personal. I mean, you know that you have a body cam on you. You know it's being recorded. And out of all five, no one had the common sense to say, hey, wait a minute, that's enough. Stop. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've worked in situations where I've been the only black officer there. And it's been times where there was white, you know, coworkers, you know, try to tighten up or what they call, you know, rough up a black individual. And I wouldn't allow that, you know. Did not allow it. And I wouldn't allow it no matter what the color. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We're there to serve and protect, you know?
So, Joe, I want to have you talk just a little more about that pressure or the dynamic that maybe leads to pressure inside the job. Being African-American, policing a city that is 80% African-American and policing with a force that is more integrated, right? I mean, it's there are lots of black officers, but also lots of white officers. And, you know, you watch that video and feel something very different, I think, than what those officers were feeling. But I wonder if you can relate to seeing people, you know, lose control that way.
Well, again, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. That's when it comes to either a citizen or either a fellow officer. You know, am I my brother's keeper? We're supposed to preserve life and take care of that. You know, regardless, our jobs is pretty much cut in black. The thing is you cannot allow your personal feelings to interject your duties. You know, and I understand we are all human, you know. People have, you know, human emotions, you know. But at some point, you know, we have to take accountability
mm-hmm.
for your actions
yeah.
and the actions of our coworkers.
Of,
you know what I mean?
Others.
Our coworkers.
Yeah. Joe, I really do love that you called to participate in the conversation today. It's a super important perspective on all of this. State Senator Chang, before we end, I want to give you a chance to talk about some of the accountability, I guess, that Joe was talking about and how we might do better with regard to that, what kinds of things we can do in Lansing. I've only got about a minute left, but
okay,
I'm going to get you in there. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I mean, first of all, Tyree Nichols should be alive today. I mean, full stop. I'm hearing what Joe said, and I think that this was preventable, right? I mean, these officers, why did they use deadly force? And what was in, you know, Memphis PD's policy around deadly force, or what is in Tennessee's statutes? You know, haven't done the deep dive. But also, you know, for violating this duty to intervene policy that apparently they had, clearly no one intervened. What are the ramifications of that? and how is Tennessee going to move forward, make sure this doesn't happen again. But in Michigan, you know, we've got an opportunity to move on things like this, to make sure that deadly force is only used as a last resort, to make sure that we are pursuing independent investigations, to make sure that we are, you know, addressing chokehold bans, no-knock warrants, addressing do they intervene, de-escalation. All of these things are things that we have introduced and actually had really good hearings on in 2021, but never moved forward after that in a Republican-led legislature. But now that we've got the majority, this has got to be a priority. It's something that we absolutely need to get done because lives are at stake and the pain and trauma is very real.
Yeah. Okay, Senator Chang, always great to have you here. Especially thankful that you could join us today. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Okay, also note that if you really want to talk about public safety here in the city of Detroit, Bridge Detroit is hosting a public safety forum on Zoom tomorrow from 6 to 7 p.m. You can find all the information you want about that at bridgedetroit.com. Okay, that's going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when we're going to discuss the legislature's new spending plan and what will be likely for the negotiated outcomes of how to spend all the money that is sitting around in Lansing. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.